Valerie, we've downloaded the wrong podcast. We meant to get Broken But Glorious. We've got that one with that idiot on from Cultaholic. No, not Pachiti. No, not Jack. No, not Ross. No, not the one really low down the totem pole, Tom Campbell. That's him. I think we've got that one on. We should get Broken But... Oh, this is Broken But Glorious. Oh, he's just doing the intro to it. Oh, that's a relief. I thought it'd be him for the whole hour. This is Tom Campbell, and this is Broken But Glorious.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the fake Geordie of North Wrestling and Cultaholic Classic Wrestling Review, who is related to Noddy Holder somehow and once attempted to cook super noodles in a kettle.
Wow! Look at what you researched into my life!
How are you doing this evening?
I'm great! I'm very impressed. Straight off the bat. The Noddy Holder thing, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Second uncle twice removed is the connection. He's my auntie's husband's sister's husband. So no blood relation, but I'm still waiting for a Christmas present from him. At least one would be nice. And the super noodles in the kettle, that's real. It seemed like a good idea at the time. I was living like Alan Partridge doing a radio show whilst slumming in a bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
And cool. I didn't have a Corby trouser press to take apart. So I decided to see whether I could cook super noodles directly into a kettle. Spoiler, you can't! Don't try that, ever.
That makes sense. I'm sure.
I thought it made sense! Because, like, because the water's going to boil in my weird head, it was like, if you put the soup noodles in bubbling, boiling water, they cook. Yeah. The kettle is technically bubbling, boiling water. How would that possibly fuse the entire bed and breakfast? I don't know, but it did, so if my life has taught me one thing that I can pass on to future generations, don't put soup noodles in a kettle.
No. So what actually happened? Was it did it just not work at all? Did it destroy the kettle?
It tripped the electricity.
Yeah.
I thought it was a coincidence. So once the electricity came back on, I tried it again, and then the fire alarm went off. It must have tripped something. So we all evacuated the bed and breakfast, and I had to awkwardly explain to the proprietor that it was probably my fault. It was a weird time. It was a weird time.
So you've joined me today to discuss wrestling, so
shall we start with... I thought we were talking about super noodles! No?
Shall we start with a few questions about your fandom? So, how long have you been a wrestling fan? Who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
Oh, probably... I was a wrestling fan 25 BSN, which is 25 years before super noodles.
Yeah.
Since I was a kid, probably... 8 years old, 9 years old. I remember I became a wrestling fan because my mum and dad, don't judge me, Chris. Don't judge me. Because we got judged for school at this. My mum and dad got a Sky television in the early 90s.
Yeah.
We were those kids and we got Sky TV. And that was where I discovered the wrestling. And I was like, this is actually really fun. Grown men fighting. Obviously, at that point, I didn't know much about it other than this is really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Remember watching Hulk Hogan, thinking he's cool, got no idea what he's saying, but I like him. And we saw Ultimate Warrior. I was like him, no idea what he's saying, but I like him. It was a lot of early fandom of wrestling was just watching big, beefy men not understanding a word they're saying and throwing each other around.
Yeah.
So my earliest memory is kind of like the Hulkamania era, and I seem to remember both me and my older brother Jim watching WrestleMania 6.
Wow.
And he was a Ultimate Warrior fan, and I was a Hulk Hogan fan, and I remember crying when Hulk Hogan lost. Like, actually crying. I would have only been, like, 6 years old. Because I'm as old as WrestleMania. That's always a handy hint, should you ever need to find me a birthday card. I'm as old as WrestleMania, so I was 6 years old. And I remember crying. Because Hulk Hogan lost. I was very sad that day.
I remember getting the video of WrestleMania 7, because my favourite wrestler was Randy Savage, and him losing to the Warrior in the Loser Leaves Tama.
Oh, I bet that broke your heart. Like, because it was such a dominant victory at the end.
He kicked out, Warrior kicked out of 5 elbow drops, and back in the day he didn't kick out of finishes. So if he kicked out 5 elbow drops.
You know, I think the finish, I mean, obviously the issue is that we watch this stuff back with smarky tinted spectacles.
Yeah.
Do you not think the fact that he hit that shoulder block like 3 times, and then Macho Man had about a minute and a half to get his act together, but still didn't kick out? That's kind of up there with the Triple H Booker T moment from WrestleMania 19 for me. Like, come on. That's far-fetched. I mean, wrestling in itself is inherently far-fetched, but that's far-fetched.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the kid who had the dodgy skybox from the snooker club with the...
your dad knew a guy, right?
Yeah, we had to get cards from the guy every couple of months. I bet
you his name was Keith.
I can't remember.
I bet it was Keith, or Big Dave. It'd been Big Dave, wouldn't it?
He'd have worn
an Everton top, and he'd have had to go around the back of the snooker, back of the snooker hall. Well, he wasn't even playing snooker, but he was sat there having about 30 fags.
Yeah.
They'd have a box under the table, he'd just tap it and just say 30.
Yeah.
And then you'd just see money swap with a box. That's what happened, isn't it?
That sounds about right.
That's it. That's exactly what happened. Big Tony.
So have you ever been lapsed fan? So,
a what fan, sorry?
A lapsed fan. So you stopped watching wrestling for a while.
Oh, yeah. I missed the entire New Generation era.
I missed the Attitude Era. I stopped watching because I turned 17, 18 when that goes.
And you just come and you're like, no, girls, I prefer girls to wrestling.
Girls, beer, prefer... and rock and roll.
It's pretty much what happened. You fell into, like, wrestling really, like, I think they like to think the wrestling was really in the late 80s, but there was still this inherent, I think it's forever been an inherent gawkiness about it.
Yeah.
But, like, the New Generation era was, it's a shame because I think, it's thanks to, and I think throughout our conversation today, Chris, I may throw to other podcasts that inspired me to do what I do, and there's the New Generation podcast.
Yeah, I think that's my favourite podcast, the New Gen.
It's so good, isn't
it? I'm so glad it's back. So.
Oh, I'm overjoyed that it's back. It's brilliant. And that's really been, and that was really wonderful in filling in gaps for me in the New Generation era, and I feel like I've missed a brilliant era of wrestling, but thankfully, thanks to my work currently with Cultaholic, I'm actually getting to fill in this big gap in my wrestling knowledge of the New Generation. So I'm quite excited about some of the absolute nonsense that's going to be thrown our way. Already 14 episodes in, we have had nonsense thrown our way.
Yeah, I've got one more question before we come on to Classic Raw review. I read that your favourite film is Space Jam?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's the best film ever. It's basically Citizen Kane for my generation. And if you dispute it, fight me.
So that's what
it's brilliant. I remember going to see it in the cinema and thinking, this is so cool. This is like Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, and all them in the film together. And they're hanging out with real people, and the animation's really slick, and they throw a little dig at Disney.
Yeah.
And I remember being a kid, and they went, oh, who in their right mind would call their sports team the Ducks? I go, whoa, edgy Warner Brothers, this did up Disney. That's up there with Kurt Angle saying, I gave TNA a hiring.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, hello.
So my question is, so if aliens invaded, and shall we say they're more, like, Predator, Klingon-style aliens rather than ones with Mac and me, and they challenged the Earth to a 5-on-5 5-series match, what wrestlers would you pick to represent the Earth?
Wow! Okay, so, is it a basketball match or a Survivor Series match?
Survivor Series style match.
Okay, so the 5 wrestlers to wreck the Earth, okay. Hulk Hogan, because he don't lay down for no anybody.
No.
So, of course you're going to have him in there. He ain't going to job to no aliens. He'll probably offend them before he jobs to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Bobby Roode in there, because Bobby Roode's entrance alone may encourage the aliens to leave us in peace.
Yeah, because it's glorious.
So I think it's only fair. I'm going to put in... It's from any era, isn't it? It's like from across the generations, across the
timeline. Okay,
I'm going to put in... I'm going to put in Mantor, because they might think, wow, even the wildlife is ridiculous here. We're off. So Mantor's in there as well. Number four, I'm going to put in Dr. Drosy.
Wow.
Because he can drive his dumpster truck and put their spaceship in the bin. And therefore they can't get back, so they're stuck. And finally, I'm going to put in... I'm going to put in Shinsuke Nakamura, because he can dance, and if you can't convince them, we'll confuse them. So he can dance and play violin at them, and actually he's the one that can wrestle in the group, so if it comes down to wrestling, he could probably just biff them all out. Unless they all touch basketball that gives them all superpowers of other wrestlers, in which case we're in a bit of trouble.
Such a fun answer.
Good question! Top quality question!
Alright, so how did you get into the wrestling business?
Oh, wow! It's so funny, because it still really is dawning on me that I am in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like I'm in it. I didn't feel like the reason that I'm in it.
Yeah.
It all started as a joke, basically. It's very much like the gap. A new generation size gap in my wrestling knowledge.
Yeah.
We go back to 2005, where I accidentally went a bit viral with a thing. I was a member of a wrestling forum, and this is what I think a lot of people might know me for, which I'm more than happy to be my legacy. Mm. A wrestling match was uploaded. A really bad wrestling match between two guys.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Very, very bad.
We googled Tom and Campbell, Wigan, oops, or something comes up. Wigan.
The Biggin in Wigan.
The Biggin in Wigan.
Well, that was what I called it. It wasn't called that until I decided one day, whilst I got a free period from college, that I'm just going to do some commentary for this really bad match. And I thought, I'm not going to dig on it. I'm going to make it sound amazing. Just for my own amusement and the amusement of people who I'm friends with on this forum. And I did it, and it just suddenly started turning up in lots of different places. This is sort of pre-YouTube. So it wasn't uploaded to YouTube, but it just kept appearing on different forums in different places. And it just did the rounds, and obviously when YouTube came around, it's been uploaded several times, not by me. And then as I've met people along the way, it's normally in conversation, if I mention it or if they hear my name, they go, oh my god, you're the Biggin in Wigan guy. So I'm very blessed in the sense that a lot of the wrestling stuff that I do has come off my own merit rather than just let's hire the Biggin in Wigan guy for a laugh. My two favourite markouts for it was one night I called a show with Grado on that night. And I tweeted about the show, and then about 2 or 3 days after the show, Grady would follow me back, because I mentioned he was in it. And about 2 or 3 days later, about 11:30 at night, suddenly, ding ding on Twitter, and it's Grado going, you did Biggin in Wigan! I went, yeah, that was me, and he thought, you're the effing man! I was like, oh, thanks very much! And the other is Matthew from Botchamania.
I sat about two seats away from him at WrestleMedia Con. I was too shy to say hello. I'd had enough pints by then.
I bet you heard him, though. Bet you heard him. Wrestling League! but basically, me and Matthew, we worked together commentating for North.
Yeah.
For North Wrestling, based up here. And first time we sat down together, Matthew's like, oh, have you done commentary before? I said, well, no, I did a chick match a few years ago. And then his face just lit up. We went, oh my god, Biggin and Wigan! Like, yeah, that's me. And so my big claim to fame is I made King Botch mark out.
Wow.
I know, right? And he was like, and for the rest of the night we were recording stuff. He's like, going, I can't believe you were the one that did Biggin and Wigan. I was like, yeah, just it's the thing. So those are my two favourites. But so I did that. Then there's a big old gap where I'm just a wrestling fan. And I worked with some friends of mine. I used to live in the West Midlands before I was a fake Geordie. And I worked on a wrestling show with a few friends of mine in Shropshire, in Shrewsbury, to be exact, called EDW. And they brought me in to be the ring announcer. And then I became the commissioner. So I did a little bit of, like, character stuff there, which I've never done before. Featured in that company that I worked with was a lesser-known tag team called the Dunn Brothers, who I think have done quite well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's a great video on YouTube of Commissioner Campbell getting a low blow from Jamie Future, a.k.a. Liam O'Rourke, a.k.a. the guy what wrote the Brian Pillman book.
Oh, wow.
So I think he did quite well as well. So I did that, and then I moved away. And I kind of thought I'd never get back into wrestling. And then it just happened that I got approached by Howard H.T. Drake to help promote Absolute Wrestling on radio and on social media and stuff. And it just happened that they were short of a ring announcer for one of the shows. And they said, oh, would it be something you'd do? I said, yeah, sure. And then kind of from there, I became like the full-time ring announcer for what was Absolute Wrestling, which was run by a lovely group of lovely people. Then it disappeared. But then, because I was doing that, I just started to get to know people. And it was actually Andrew Bowers at North, who runs North Wrestling, mm-hmm. who was the first guy who said, do you fancy doing some commentary? Like some proper commentary for it. I was like, yeah, why not? Let's do it. So I did commentary for North Wrestling with Matthew. And we had the whole, oh my God, Biggin and Wiggin debacle. And it's one of those things where, because I was doing that, suddenly I had other promoters getting in touch with me saying, hey, we need the commentators, you want to come and do our commentating too? Well, yeah, sure, go on. And so I think I'm working for about 5 different companies at the moment.
Oh, great.
Always looking for more work. It's absolutely fine. Please get in touch. At Tom Campbell. My rest like reasonable. And then that's it. And suddenly now I find myself working with Cultaholic, talking to you, and you asking the question, how did you get in the wrestling business? It just seems to have happened all so quickly, and it's wonderful. I'm really blessed to be in a position where my three big passions in life when I was a kid was the radio, was wrestling, and Sonic the Hedgehog. And now 2 out of 3 of them are how I'm making a living.
Yeah, wow.
And it's ridiculous. It really is. And every day I wake up and I think about how awesome that actually is. And so to be asked, like, how you get into the wrestling business, is just one of those things that I never kind of get used to. But it's not been a pun. I'm nobody special, but I'm certainly in business. And if it goes no further than this, this Friday I'm doing a show. I'm working commentary on a show in Billingham. And if this is the last show I ever do, then it's all good. Because I actually got to be in the business for a short while and had a lovely time doing it.
Oh, great. Was there somebody you wanted to mould your commentating style around when you started it?
I think, well, you're always drawn to people like Jim Ross.
Yeah.
And Joey Styles and such like that. And I think because I kind of stumbled into it, I listened to how they put stuff together and how they tell a story. I kind of, it sounds like such a trite answer, but like, I'd never want to be the next anybody. Mm. I'd rather be the first me. So I listen to people like Jim Ross and to people like Joey Styles who really inspire me, and people. I'm now working with people as well who and speaking with people really inspired by. I haven't had a chance to work with him yet, but I'm a big fan of James R. Kennedy from Defiant Wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a guy who has this amazing flair for the English language, this dialect, and never used, avoid using the cliches and all this stuff, and I love that. And so to see things on Twitter popping up from James R. Kennedy saying, like, why is nobody going to put me and Tom Campbell on a show together? I'm like, whoa, that'd be amazing. I'd love that. And like Stevie Aaron, who I work with at 3CW, is another guy who, I think everybody knows Stevie, Sweet Stevie Aaron, as a ring announcer, but he's actually a really, really good storyteller on commentary as well. So I'm very blessed that every so often I get a chance to kind of work with him as well and hear how he tells stories and pick up things from there. So I think those are really my main influences. If I've missed anybody, I feel really bad. But those are my main influences. But I think Jim Ross, Joey Styles, James R. Kennedy, Stevie Aaron. Yeah, those are my boys. Those are my boys. I enjoy Dave Bradshaw as well. I need to mention it because Dave does play by play, which is kind of the main thing that I do, which is play by play. So like his job is to almost line him up for James R. Kennedy, so James R. Kennedy can knock him out of the park. And every so often, though, Dave will come up with some great lines, some great little story. And he has a knack of being able to drop in a sentence that you know is going to sound great in a video package.
Yeah.
Like, I love stuff like that. And so I'll chuck in Dave Bradshaw as well.
I can't wait for The Fiend to come back on YouTube.
I'm really excited. I'm actually tomorrow, because I'm off work this week. I've just got a week off where I'm just stepping back and just not thinking about radio. But I end up doing lots of stuff with wrestling. And tomorrow I'm actually off to Defiant. I'm off to Fight or Flight in Sheffield.
Wow.
And I think I haven't been to a Defiant show in about a year. So I'm genuinely really excited about the experience. Okay. So I don't know how soon this will go up. By the time you hear this, I've probably been and gone and probably got into a fight in Sheffield. So, hi, past Tom. Don't do that thing that you did. There we go.
So, what's the last bit on your commentary? What's your favourite match you've announced?
Oh, okay. There's a couple. My first night in Three Count Wrestling, which is based in Teesside, which is sort of like Middlesbrough, Hartlepool, that kind of area. We had in January, we had Limitless Keith Lee versus Justin the Hammer Sison. And it was amazing. It was one of those matches that as a fan, I'd just be excited to watch. And the fact that I got to call it as a commentator, it was unreal. And Justin's had an amazing year and Keith's had an amazing year. And it was, you couldn't have predicted just how incredible their 2018 would be back in January in the middle of Middlesbrough, where it's Keith Lee versus Justin Sison. But honestly, seek that one out. It's on 3CW's YouTube channel. They just absolutely tear it down.
Justin Sison put it on his Facebook page a couple of weeks ago, so I did see that match. So.
Well, there you go. There's a seal of approval if there ever was one. Justin Sison. And it was amazing. That's the thing. But from North Wrestling, Matthew called an amazing storytelling moment between Amir Jordan and Nathan Cruz.
Yeah.
This is where Amir Jordan, who is again another guy who's had a phenomenal run as of late.
Yeah.
He had a losing streak in North Wrestling. He couldn't pick up a win in North, and it all built up to this match with Nathan Cruz, where it was, look, if I can't beat the best in this company, then I'm going. So me and Matthew knew going into this kind of what happened in the match, because we were both there live. So on this occasion, we were pre-recording it, so it was like, I need to make sure we absolutely nailed this. And I think I must have had like a page and a half of notes. And I'm one of the, and behind the curtain a bit on sort of my process, and I think this is going to be similar for a lot of people, and I think a lot of people might groan when I say it, but if I'm out and about, and I know I'm calling a match on the weekend, or if I'm calling commentary that day, or whatever, and if I have a great idea for an off-the-top-of-my-head spontaneous one-liner, I am writing that bugger down.
Well, you have to, then.
And I am going to weave it in a way that makes it sound like I just dreamt it up. Spoiler, I didn't! The thing I always tell people, and radio is very similar, I think, because radio and wrestling have lots of very similar qualities. Mm. And the one thing I always say about radio is the same thing I say about wrestling. is that when it comes to commentary, spontaneity can't be dreamt upon the spot. It has to be meticulously planned. It really does. Like, it's some of the, like, and sometimes you'll have an idea for a line or a phrase that you want to get in, and you'll say it, and it won't stand.
No.
And you'll just go, actually, it sounded better in my head than it did in this moment. But that's fine. Nobody's died. Away we go. Sometimes it'll come out and you'll go, whoa, that really made the moment. And that really made the match. That really made the night. And I think I had a page and a half of notes ready for this Amir Jordan and Nathan Cruz match. I think I ended up just being so sucked into the drama of it that I probably used half of them. Because I was just, even watching it a second time round, it was just the emotion of it carried me. And a big thing about commentating as well is to know when to shut up. And sometimes a match or a moment will tell itself, so you don't need to say it. And WWE have got very good at this lately. NXT are masters at this, of just knowing when to shut up and just let a moment play out. You know, that entire, go back last year on NXT, that entire Johnny Gargano Tommaso Ciampa turn occurred with no commentary.
Yeah.
It just happened. And commentary would have probably sullied it in a weird way. And I enjoy just watching that raw moment happen. But calling that Amir Jordan Nathan Cruz match is one of my favourites as well. And it's one of the pieces of work that I'm particularly proud of. And every time I go into a show, I always watch one of those two matches back, probably a day or so before, just to kind of mentally put me in the zone for it, to go, I need to try and top these. These are what I'm trying to beat with these matches here.
I think I've seen Amir Jordan about four times this year, because he comes to our local promotion in Bessel Island.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
He gets around, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's my son's favourite. He can't wait. He likes doing a little dance. A 13-year-old.
Oh, he is sensational.
Such
he's such
a nice
lovely
well.
Guy as yeah. well. And it's always nice when you see good people get good things. And Amir Jordan is getting good things, and it's nice to see.
Hi, this is Dave Mercy, owner of Pro Wrestling Chaos, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so should we move on to your Cultaholic work? So you host the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review with Justin Henry. So how did you get involved with Cultaholic?
Well, I've been a fan of what they do for ages, like ever since it was name redacted.
Yeah.
And they splintered off and did their own thing. I think I applied for some voiceover stuff for them, and they never got back to me because they're just such a machine. And I got contacted by... Adam Pachetti contact me, or did Justin Henry contact me? I think Justin must have contacted me. So Justin Henry is a bit like the fifth Beatle. I tell you what Justin Henry is. Justin Henry is, if Cultaholic is Monty Python,
yeah,
Justin Henry is Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he isn't as seen. But my God, he is brilliant. He is brilliant. He's clever, and he's witty, and a lot of the stuff that you see on the Cultaholic website is penned by him. And I think I've always enjoyed him as a writer. And I think I followed him on Twitter because of that. I think I followed him on Facebook because of that. And he got in touch with me and said, but they want to bolster their podcast stable. Cultaholic, and Justin's like, I've had an idea for a podcast I'd like to do. I just need to find somebody to do it with.
Yeah.
Would you be up for it? And I said, yeah, why not? I said, we did like we had an initial chat on a Sunday afternoon. Not recorded it, just to chat and just see how the banter was, and it worked out well. And then we recorded a demo episode that ended up becoming episode one because they liked it that much. They went, yeah, this is episode one. Off to the races we go. And that was kind of how it came about. I'd done like wrestling podcasts and stuff before. I want to give a big shout out to my mate Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
Who me and Dave we set out last year to do a podcast called Weird Science, which was chronicling ECW on Sci-Fi. Like
a really bad ECW.
I just like talking about bad wrestling shows.
So you do a whole episode
Basically, I got. Oh, hello.
Hey, I was just saying, did you do a whole episode on ECW Zombie? versus Sandman.
Pretty much the first episode was mainly focused around the zombie versus Sandman debacle. The episodes, I think, still exist, but what happened was it was just I took on a lot more work at my day job, at my normal job, and it just became too much for me to do, so we took like an extended hiatus that kind of became the end. Me and Dave now do a podcast, which is kind of more, which is a lighter workload for me, and it's more fun for both of us. It's called Dave and Tom Versus. It's just a low-brow, half-an-hour chat every week where we just pick out a couple topics that have caught our eye during the week, and we just riff on them. Dave Roberts is a very funny, very strongly opinionated gentleman, and I love him to death. So I do that with him now, but I also do this with Justin. So I've done like wrestling podcasts and stuff before, so it wasn't new territory. But it's been a really fun 14 weeks so far with Justin. We have enough in common where we know when to let the other talk, when to let the other, you know, get the funny, and where the other's going, and we have enough different about us to be able to fall out over certain things. I think. What's the language thing like on Broken But Glorious?
You can say whatever you want. Just don't say the C.
Okay, I don't normally like swearing, so I try to avoid it. But here's a nice teaser for this week's Cultaholic Classic Raw review. This week, Justin calls me a dickbag, and I don't think I've ever been so insulted in all my life. But I found it absolutely hilarious. He has his reasons, so. He was tired and grumpy, for a start, because normally we record it on a Monday evening, my time, but I ended up having to go to like a press night for work purposes, so I said, can we do it another day? And the only time he could do was 2 a.m. his time, or 1 a.m. his time, which was like 5 a.m. my time. So I was like, that's fine, I'll get up early and I'll do that with you. So I'm kind of fresh-faced from a good night's sleep, and he hasn't been to bed yet. So you can tell in this episode, who's had all the sleep and who is ready to kill the other. And spoiler, Justin calls me a dickbag.
I'll look forward to listening to it tomorrow.
So. I think it's, and it caught me so off guard. At the time, I was quite offended, but it caught me so off guard that I just die laughing. Because at 5:30 in the morning, I wasn't expecting anybody to call me a dickbag. I've never been called a dickbag. I don't even know what a dickbag is.
No, I was going to say, we just confused.
A bag of dicks, I suppose.
Were you surprised at the quality of the early roles? Did you look back in nostalgia to begin with and then think, oh god, these are...
No, because they're rubbish! They're rubbish! They are awful! Awful shows!
Sweet, it's my game.
Literally, the one blessing that these Raws have on Raw in 2018 is that they are less than an hour.
45 minutes long.
Like, 45, the one episode was like 38. I was like, oh my god, what a dream. Imagine if Raw these days, and then, I don't know whether we're going to get into being like a modern day wrestling fan, but like, I can't watch Raw anymore. I'm too tired, and it's like spending 3 hours in a time warp.
No, I just watched the one on a Sunday morning, the hour catch up. I can't watch the whole
thing. Oh, AM Raw. Thank you, Sky Sports, for giving us AM Raw.
Yeah.
Dream. That's all you need. Like, just compress that. And the saddest part is, we know it's only going to get more lethargic. But these old episodes of Raw are less than an hour. That's probably one of the nicest things I can say about them.
They are
so badly put together. Because all jokes aside, this is a company experimenting in live television for the very first time. So it's going to be blunders. One of our favourites so far was when Hulk Hogan came out to do a 5-minute promo, ended up being 15-minute promo. Ooh. To the point where The Undertaker and Dave Demento were on last. And we got about 35 seconds of the match, and Raw ended. We have to go, we'll catch up with this match next week. And the funniest part is, in The Undertaker Dave Demento match, all we see is Damien Demento kicking it out of The Undertaker. So, and that's all we see of Undertaker for a week. He's getting battered by Damien Demento. Deadpool 2 really bad.
It's my girlfriend's favourite era, so we have watched the early worlds a couple of times. What I remember is they tend to open with a main event and then just have jobber matches for the rest of it.
It's such a weird setup. I don't know whether it's because they think people will tune out, or whether, again, like, it's just badly structured. They do seem to have, like, the feature match, like, one or two matches in. But the one we just watched, the last match was Typhoon versus some enhancement talent.
Yeah.
But then earlier in the night, we'd had Crush versus Lex Luger. Like, that, in the grand scheme of things, should have been your main event.
Strange.
And again, that shows you exactly where we are in terms of Raw in 1993, where that is your go-to main event.
And the thing I found quite humorous on your show so far is your love-hate relationship with Rob Bartlett.
I know, we've been all over the shop with Rob Bartlett. We really have. When we started, just what an annoying human being. But then as the weeks wore on, I was rooting for him, because I could see that here's a guy who doesn't quite know wrestling,
no.
But he's been offered a gig and he's taken it, and he's just rolling with the punches. And there's moments where Vince wants to humiliate him, but Rob is such a consummate professional that he just owns it. Like, there was a bit where they had these card-wielding Raw girls that walk around the ring between, they're a bit like the boxing round one, round two girls.
Yeah.
And there was a selection of them that were larger ladies. Lol, 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 lol. The joke's off its time.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bit where they were behind Rob Bartlett in the announce table, and Vince was like, oh, hey, Rob, these girls, they really like you. And Rob Bartlett gets up and snogs one of them. Get it, Rob. Don't let that joke get to you. And Vince was like, because it's like the archetypal bully trying to make you look small, but then you just kind of owning it. And it was brilliant. And I was just, and it felt like Rob was getting better. Near the end, it felt like Rob was, like, was against all the odds, Rob was finding his groove. And that was when this happened.
Yeah. Do you think he was just given given a 3-month contract?
What's that, sorry?
Was he just given a 3-month contract? Because he kind of just disappears 1 week. So.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I'll let you in on a broken but glorious exclusive. We are endeavouring to contact Rob Bartlett.
Wow.
and ask him these questions. I genuinely would like to know more about what happened.
Mm.
Because I started watching these and being so annoyed by him. There was one episode where for the whole week he pretended to be this man. And it was just, it gave me a stomach ulcer.
Yeah, it's a 1-minute joke less than an hour.
that felt like 12 hours. And it was because it was one show where there was bad snow, so they had a really limited crowd, and a really limited roster, and they had a make-do and mend country team, which consisted of Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, brilliant, and then Rob Bartlett doing a Vince McMahon impression.
Like,
all the power of the Monsoon Heenan combo is completely watered down by Rob Bartlett doing a Vince McMahon impression for an hour. But by the end, I was rooting for him, and then he went. So, hopefully, watch this space. We'll get his side at some point.
So, is there a wrestler you're excited about debuting and following their career?
Well, there's a couple. I was quite excited about Friar Ferguson, and now I realise he only did those two episodes, and then he went again. I was like, that's fine.
It could have been interesting, the Friar Ferguson by Bigelow feud. I wouldn't know how it would go, but...
I know, but that's... But we don't get it. It's a shame. I was ready for the Bam Bam Bigelow Friar Ferguson feud. I was so
complaining.
I'm excited to see the many faces of Glenn Jacobs as we roll through. We're going to get Isaac Yankum. We're going to get Fake Diesel. We're going to get Kane.
Yeah.
Quite excited to see that evolution. Weirdly, I'm quite excited to see the arrival of the Million Dollar Corporation. I mean, because it feels like it should be a really good idea for a fa- collection, but my memory tells me that they were rubbish. But I want to just watch how it plays out on Monday Night Raw.
If my memory of my memory of New Gem is right, they don't win a pay-per-view match until Sid joins, I think.
Well, that says it all, doesn't it? Yeah. That shows you just how bad they were. but that's like in near future. So I mean, obviously, I'm excited to see the debut of the Ringmaster. Then subsequently Stone Cold Steve Austin, but we're talking years and years and years away. So I'm just going to take all the good, the bad, and the ugly as it comes our way, I think. And I think we've got quite a lot of ugly to sift through.
Oh, dear. No, just the build-up to and the aftermath of King of the Ring 95 should be fun for you. So, King Mabel won.
Oh, yes.
Right, so do you want to do a little bit of a quiz?
I would love to do a little bit of a quiz.
Yeah, so I've got a list of tag teams, and I just want you to tell me who finished higher in the PWI 500 in 1993.
Oh, okay, I like this. Sounds good. Okay, hit me.
The Bushwhackers. So who would finish higher out of Luke and Butch?
Okay, I reckon Butch was the workhorse. I think Butch finished higher than Luke.
Yes, Butch was 179 and Luke was 188. So, natural disasters?
Oh, earthquake ahead of typhoon, easy.
Yeah, definitely. Earthquake was 94, and typhoon was 103. Nasty Boys.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to say... Oh, Nobbs had to be before Sags.
Yes. three out of three. So, yeah, Brian Nobbs finished 70, and Sags was...
Sags really was just like a repalette of Nobbs. Mm. Let's be honest. If we were playing WWF No Mercy, you wouldn't make a separate character for Jerry Sags.
No.
You'd just make him a second costume to Brian Nobbs.
And put blonde hair on him.
Exactly.
Would it surprise you to know that the Nasty Boys finished above Ultimo Dragon, Jake the Snake, and Razor Ramon in the PWI 590.
Do you know what? It wouldn't, because I believe a few years after that in WCW, they won Tag Team of the Year.
Wow. Right, so I've got. This might be my last question. So if you can make a NXT style 5-match card using people from 1993 who you've reviewed, what matches would you choose?
So like make a pay per view based on. Oh, sorry, my microphone fell away. So, make a pay-per-view based on the guys that I've reviewed so far.
Yeah.
Like an NXT style 5 show. Right, okay. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to give you some really good matches. Some really solid matches, and I'm going to give you some utter guff.
Yeah.
I think we have to have Bam Bam Bigelow versus Fryan Ferguson, because we need to tie a knot in this string. We need a full stop on this appalling sentence. So that's what we need to have. That needs to be somewhere. I want to see the Steiner Brothers versus Money Incorporated with the tag team titles on the line.
No count out.
No count out. Hey, do you know what? Yeah, no. Do I make it no DQ? No, because I want to save no DQ for another match. But yeah, I do want to see Steiner's challenging Money Inc. I want to see, based on who we've had so far in, for comedy value, I'd like to see Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah.
who's not wrestled. He's wrestled one match on Raw. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I want to see Giant Gonzalez taking on, I think just for lols, I want to see Giant Gonzalez versus Hulk Hogan. I know that's a match that Hulk Hogan would love to have. And it could just be, that could be a crowd pleaser kind of match for the night.
Yeah.
I want to see, so that might go on a bit later in the night. I would like to see, hang on. This one's going to be, I need it. Okay, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Versus L.A. Gore.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the night...
Yeah.
L.A. Gore does a Barry Horowitz. L.A. Gore pins Shawn Michaels.
Did you know that L.A. Gore made the PWI 500?
L.A. Gore should have been a thing.
he made the PWI 500 in 92. L.A. Gore.
Good. He should have been number one. LA Gore, we've talked several times about LA Gore so far in the podcast, and hopefully we'll talk more. Now, I'm desperate, and I'm really pleased that I've got this platform with you and a platform with Cultaholic, because I want to interview LA Gore, but he has completely fallen off the grid.
Yeah, right? On all the websites it says real name, unknown, doesn't it?
We're starting a campaign called LA Gore, Just Give Me Three Rings.
Yeah.
Because even if he doesn't want to talk about the greater highs and lows of his time as a wrestler, we just want to know he's okay. So even if it is just, give us three rings, let us know you're all right. So, LA Gore, if you are subscribed to Broken But Glorious, could you just give Tom Campbell three rings? Just let us know you're all right, because big fan of your work.
Yeah, he made 317 on the 92 list. So.
Brilliant! See, it was a thing. He was good. So I've got one more match to do.
Your main event.
So Yokozuna, the WWF champion.
Yeah.
Taking on.
Purely based on your reviews, it must be.
Bret Hart's there as well, isn't he? So I guess we should do Yokozuna and Bret Hart again. But okay, probably. Yokozuna and Bret Hart for the WWF Championship in the main event. But we leave bear traps. We leave bear traps along the entranceway for when Hulk Hogan gets itchy.
Yeah.
So if Hulk Hogan decides to start walking out, he just gets his foot stuck in a bear trap. So he can't get involved. So bear traps for Hogan. I want to spend a bit of money, because you know NXT sometimes will have like a fancy entrance on a takeover show. I don't want a fancy entrance. I want red and yellow bear traps lining the entrance, and I want the Raw girls to scatter the bear traps behind Yokozuna. So as Yoko makes his way to the ring, like behind is a trail of bear traps. Wow. So Hulk Hogan get itchy.
That's brilliant. Right, so
I've missed loads of the guys. Like Tonka hasn't got looking on this show. We'll do a battle royal on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Tonka Crush. Two doinks.
Crush.
Oh no, sorry, the one doink, because it's just an illusion. Crush. The Big Vito, who is a jobber at this point, which is always hilarious when he pops
it's
up. Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah.
Not Glenn Jacobs. Glenn Ruth. Headbanger Thrasher.
Yeah.
Get in that battle royal, you. And you are competing for the Harvey Whippleman Memorial Trophy. There you go.
It's a Tony DeVito, is he there as well? Barry Horowitz.
DeVito's in there, that's it. I can't remember. His name off the top of my head escapes me in this era. But that's there you go. The show, me and Justin are calling the show. Rob Bartlett will come out halfway through and attack me. So then it's Justin and Rob Bartlett calling the rest of the night. It's a shower of shite. But it's $9.99 a month. Get on it.
Right, so do you want to plug any wrestling shows you've got coming up?
So this is going out on the Friday. So I'm at 3CW Revival at the Cydonia Suites in Billingham. If you live near there, run there now. I'll be there. We have two really cracking events coming up with North Wrestling in Newcastle. On the 27th of October, we are screening the Progress documentary, This Is Progress. We have Mr. Glenn Joseph from Progress Wrestling, who is there as well for a Q&A afterwards, which I'll be hosting, so come and say hi. That'll be a really, really, really nice evening. The day after, we have North Wrestling show, Scary Monsters and Super Creeps, which is all Halloween-y themed. Jordan Devlin versus Robbie X.
Wow.
That's a thing that is happening.
That's a great match.
Come along to that. It's going to be a really fun night at the Riverside in Newcastle. I'm very blessed to get to work with lots of different wrestling companies around the Northeast. And I bang on about them all the time on Twitter.
Yeah.
So you can follow me at Tom Campbell on Twitter. I live there. Do come and say hi. And come and have a chat, because I like making new friends.
Right, so I'll put all the links in the description below. So I've loved having you on. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Oh, it'd be a pleasure, an honour and a privilege in that order.